Hey guys,
welcome back
to a podcast about nothing with V.
You are not V.
I can't say AD first though. So
all right, with V
and AD, hey,
we guys. Have special guests.
Ooh, hey. Guests. Introduce yourself. We have
Manny Wells
and Vitavius Vandross, aka Foggy Raw.
I was about to say
that. Yeah, I was like, who that?
I
don't
know.
I ain't seen that.
You've been hoodwinked this whole time. We don't even know who you are.
That's my alias. That's my smooth alias.
Smooth. I like that name.
Yeah.
Wait, say it again.
Fogtavious Vandross.
Fogtavious.
And you see my radio voice, low key.
Fogtavious Vandross. Can you sing?
You know, I
think is your last name really Vandross?
No.
Oh, he out here taking the funk. All right, so, AD, explain to him what today is about.
So we're here, you know, me and V always have conversations. So we're really just trying to gain understanding. Once again, this is very serious.
It's always serious.
The conversation is always serious, but we just want to know. It's with African music, culture, everything being so accepted nowadays. Mm-hmm. Before we were what, African booty scratchers and whatnot.
Oh. So are you African?
Yes, okay. I'm Liberian. So with people being okay. With it being so accepted, we discuss this often with first generation, but I found out recently that you guys are not first generation born. You were actually born back home. And moved across the pond when you guys were, how old were you?
I was 9 when I moved.
I was about 4 or 5.
Tell the people where you were born. Let's talk about it.
So I was born in Accra, Ghana.
Hey now.
I was there living with my dad while my mom, she came here. And so I stayed with my dad, with grandpa. And I don't remember so much, mm-hmm. but I remember going to school for about 1 year. I remember getting in trouble. I remember almost getting kidnapped.
Oh. What? Lucky,
yeah.
What nigga.
So it's crazy.
Can I say nigga?
Yeah.
So I remember there was a time, and you know Questlove the drummer?
Yeah.
So I always have this bad image of Questlove because the guy looked like Questlove. I always remember
that. Wow.
Yeah. And he had this big bush. I remember I went outside when I wasn't supposed to, and he tried to snatch me, and I ran. And I'm even, like, low-key lucky I made it back. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember that, but that's about it. I remember getting beat in school for eating chalk.
Yeah, they used to beat you. Oh, got beat for that.
Right. So what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah,
yeah,
you should have got your ass
yeah,
for that.
I was getting beat. My teacher thought I was crazy. And then,
we did, too.
Yeah, that's about it. I got some good memories, but
had
not.
Had chalk taste, I'm just playing.
Oh, yeah.
She's
about to describe it.
Well,
just
I
like
mean,
sugar.
You must know I had.
Because you know I got anemia, so I had like when you have anemia, or I think it's iron deficiency.
I thought it was about ice though.
Yeah, no, but it's like ice, chalk, and dirt. They all taste good to you.
Mm, yeah. I ain't never had that.
I never tried dirt.
What?
Fun fact.
What's it? Oh, anemia.
Anemia. Yeah.
It's like iron deficiency. Yeah.
But I got like mild anemia, not like.
You don't just walk around eating chalk.
But half the time, that is true, because half the time when people are walking around like chewing on ice, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I eat ice all the time.
Yeah. Always freezing for real, so.
I was born in Lagos, Nigeria. Moved to the States when I was 9. Like Jesse, I always used to get in trouble. Like, I remember like skipping freaking first grade.
Like, where were you going?
To recess. And like
so you skip to school.
Yeah, I went to school. So it would be different scenarios. Like one time we would go to recess and like the school was huge. I think it was staff school or something like that. It was like there was like this whole institution where it was from kindergarten to freaking college. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like a lot of schools over there are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the school was so big, so, like, 6 of us. I don't even remember these niggas. But I just remember it was, like, 6 of us after this one recess. We just, like, yo, we're not going back. And we just kept playing. We were playing soccer with, like, the high schoolers.
That's not skipping.
But you
no, that was the first scenario. The second scenario was we just wouldn't go to the we would, like, sneak out. So you have, like, a the little lines, assembly lines. Oh, and night, yeah. So we would like sneak out and not go to like class and just go to the park. To yeah, whatever. Research.
How do you
yeah.
learn this when you're young like this? That's what I
don't
just
understand. Wanted to play. But when I got older, I was like, damn, I was dumb. Like, I was skipping class. So.
But you know, you were extra ham as a Nigerian boy doing that. Cause
yeah, bro.
You were going to get in extra trouble doing
bro,
that stuff.
Bro, my teacher would tell me to carry the chair.
Of course.
What?
Of course. Yo, they'll probably slap flung. You in your face, and then your parents not going to say nothing. Yeah. They're not going to say,
oh, yeah, my dad didn't say
I got
that.
Spanked.
Like, good slapping, bro. He's dumb. So, yeah, you were wild.
I got beaten. I got beat that one day because we got caught. It was like we didn't go back after our recess. We got caught. And then, like, that was when the teacher's like, okay, hold the chair. Like, this light-skinned lady, too. Just I remember it. She just.
She beat you while you were holding the chair?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we need to bring over here. But you know, soft-ass American
kids. You know what niggas used to do? Like, the bad, like, high schoolers would wear, like, three pants. Dirty Youngins was bad, bro. So we used to look up to them, like, we want to be like.
We want to wear three pants.
My mom wasn't about to let me wear three pants, boy.
That yeah. is funny.
So, what nine was, and five.
Yeah.
What was your transition?
Like, how did you learn that you were coming over here, and what was your transition like?
Shoot. We always used to go to the freaking embassy, and we got denied a bunch of times. So, like, I just stopped caring about coming to America, really. So, one day.
Oh, so it was always a goal of your family to get over here.
Yeah, because my dad was here.
Oh, okay.
My dad was here and he was trying to bring us over. I just remember just going one last time and then we finally got it. And everybody was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, sure. And then the transition was cool. Like, I was pretty much exposed to, like, American culture from TV. Like, we had cable. We used to watch, like, Dexter and, like, Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. And my cousin always used to come to the States every summer. So he was just like, yo, like, this is what happened. And then when we moved here, they lived in Nigeria, but they just kept coming, like, yo, like, this is what's happening in Nigeria. So we were pretty much hip to what was going on here. With American movies, we try to, like, mock them with the accents and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, it was interesting.
Was it what you expected?
Well, okay, when I found out I was coming to America, I was happy because I was like, okay, we're going to live with my mom. It's chill. But so actually, no. I came with my dad, but my dad couldn't stay. So I came and just lived with my mom for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you're going to be going to school. So I was so scared because I'm like, yo, it's going to be like white kids there. I never seen no white kid in my life. I remember even That's the first crazy. Time I saw a light-skinned kid, I was like, what is wrong with him? Like,
we still trying crazy. To figure that out.
So I came. I remember my first day ever going to school. I literally was like, I was so scared. Like, I was like, okay, let me just be quiet. Don't say a word. And I remember my grandma has these little recordings of me and how I would describe school. I would describe it like it was some kind of like laboratory where they're testing on students. It's like, it wasn't even that bad at all, but. Yeah, so it was an interesting transition, you know, going from kids not understanding your last name or, you know, why you're so dark or stuff like that. So,
I never got, like, the dark stuff. I got, like, I think they tried to bully me first day. Oh, I wasn't rocking. Like, this dude's, like, skee-boat me. Mike Clement from Woodmore.
Oh, we went That was the dude who tried to ski with you because he was African?
Yeah, I smacked that nigga, bro. I smacked him right back. He's like, oh, that's E. Oh, hi. I was like, okay, I'm just not sweet.
When you guys first came, where did you go?
Well, I didn't go to that school immediately. I went to another school before I came to that school. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I went to Woodmore. We lived in Bowie. Bowie, Maryland, okay. Bowie, Maryland.
And I lived in Gaithersburg.
Dang.
For a little bit, yeah.
Where did you go?
I think it was called Resnick, elementary school. Yeah, that's where I went. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And mine was a little more chill because, you know, white kids, they don't pick on Africans like as much as black kids.
Yeah,
it was a little bit more chill.
That's real. Yeah. That's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, black kids, they'd kill you. But white kids be like, oh, that's
cool.
Ethnic, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, he exotic.
Yeah.
Becky trying to take you home.
He's culture.
Right. He is culture. Because they also probably travel a mm-hmm. lot more.
So going through your culture at all, or your transition, excuse me, did you guys like ever experience being ashamed of your culture when you guys were being picked on or bullied or tried to, you, because I notice a lot of children who come over, transition, or have an accent, know a different language, yeah. they try to switch it up. Yeah. I have a lot of friends who speak different languages, but they promise, like, they wanted to get rid of it because they didn't like the fact that friends come over their houses, they don't understand what's going on and stuff like that. Did you ever experience that?
So very early on, I don't want to say like I was ashamed of it, because I don't think I was. I just feel like I just honestly just wish people would just say my last name right. That was the only thing I was like, man, my last name's not even that hard to say. Like, why people? And I remember I had this teacher. He would mess it up on purpose all the time.
Oh, so he would have got
But I'm trying to, like, he would add, like, 7 extra letters. I'm like, dude, my last name's 5 letters. Like, it's not that long.
How
so,
do you say your last name?
Owusu.
That's not hard.
No, let me tell you what he used to say. He used to be like, Jesse Owusu.
Hold on. That's my phone, guys.
Time's up.
He would be like, Jesse Owushala.
What?
So I'd be like, yo, like, and then everybody started laughing. So I'm like, damn, I wish my last name was easier to say. But as far as like culture, I used to like, you know, tell my language to my friends, and it was never really like ashamed of being African for me, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, it's, I think it was the same for me, but I just didn't want my parents to like come to school me if I got in trouble.
That's
I was like the ultimate the fear, like, because then I used to be like bad in 6th grade. I came in 5th grade and I used to be bad in like 6th grade,
trying to do the same stuff you were doing in Nigeria. That's a problem, huh?
You know what? No, that's real.
That's the problem.
That's so real.
Trying to do the same thing.
Like, a lot of people were like, oh, you trying to fit in, and I was just like, I just want to play. I was just a playful kid.
This nigga has spent his whole life playing games. Okay, he is still playing games. I just want to play. Dang, that's crazy. That is crazy. What do you feel that your parent? Because you're both artists.
Yeah.
You both do music, hip hop, a little hip hop, a little singing, a little rapping, a little Afro beat in there. But I notice that a lot of African parents want their kids to be engineers,
mm-hmm. doctors,
mm-hmm. lawyers.
Definitely like, a doctor first.
You need to do something with your life. For sure. But then they found out that y'all were going to do nothing with your life and be artists.
Pretty much.
Okay. How was that? What was your coming out story?
And what was their dream for you in the beginning? Like, what was their dream or their aspirations for you before?
So with my parents, it was like because my brother, he was studying to be a pharmacist, my older brother. So I was kind of like always look up to my older brother. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna do that too. But I had no business trying to do that because I wasn't like a school kid really. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do that. So boom, I'm doing that, and I'm not really like taking school serious. I'm not really going to classes like that. So boom, it's not working. Then I got hip to rapping when I was like in freshman year of college. So boom, I'm rapping, and I played to my mom. She's like, oh, this is cool, but you still, like, you know. But then I kept not, like, basically the pharmacy thing wasn't gonna work for me. So I was like, boom, all right. I'm not like, my rap career is not going nowhere right now. So I'm like, oh, you know what, mom? She's like, why don't you try to be a nurse? I'm like, I'll try. So I really put one big effort into trying. And I tried so hard. And I was smart too. Like, I used to get, like, I was smart. People used to try to shit off my test.
You're not smart anymore?
Oh,
what happened? When did the smartness go?
But like, I'm talking about even school smart.
Yeah.
And then, I think God literally tried to tell me, yeah, no, it would be a waste for you to be a nurse, because that's not what I made you for. So it was to the point where I had did all my work and I was getting A's on all my tests, boom, in this one class, and I needed this class to go into the program. So boom, the teacher just literally gave me the wrong grade, not off some like, oh, I think I deserve, like, I calculated it. And then she was like, I tried to call her after the semester was over. She's like screening my calls, like ducking my emails. I'm like, you literally gave me the wrong grade. So I'm like, God, is this you trying to tell me that no matter what I do, like, I'm not going to be able to be successful at this? So that was the moment where I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I think I'm just going to drop out of school and just do music, because that's the only thing I know how to do. And I'm, mind you, I'm not lit in music right now, but I just know inside of me it got to be that. Yeah. So then she's like, nah, you crazy, woo-woo. But I'm just like, I'm checking out of school. So, like, I'm going.
How go ahead. Did she say?
We got into a big argument, but like, I'm not like me, and I love you, Mom and Dad, but I'm not like afraid like of that. I just be like, because I was also like, hey, if y'all say, if we don't come to an agreement, I'll just move out the house. So I was just like, whatever.
You can't say nothing then.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just make it easy for y'all. So they was like, okay, look, just finish this joint. Like, just get some kind of English joint or something. So I was like, all right, I'll do that, because I probably had, like, maybe a year and a half left. So, boom. Then I'm doing that. And then they know I do music.
Is that when you went from Eastern Shore to Bowie State?
Nah, I was already at Bowie State at that time. So, boom, I'm at Bowie. Then I'm like, yo, I started doing my thing. I'm not taking school seriously, though. Boom, I'm doing my thing. Then I started coming up. Then my mom's like, oh, okay, you doing your thing. All right, yeah. But just finish. And then I started selling shirts. So then I started really making some money. She's like, oh, okay, but still finished. And then I got my first music check for like $1,000. Then she's like, what? So boom. Then it's like, okay.
Oh, he making money.
Yeah, it's like, I respect it, but still finished. Right. And then at that point, I'm so focused on music, I'm not even going to class. Like, yeah. I'm literally probably going to fail all my classes. But I told my teachers, I'm like, yo, like, I'm getting calls from this label. Woo, please, like, let me graduate this semester, because I'm not coming back if y'all don't pass me. And then my teachers are all just like, all right, man, we gonna make sure you graduate. And they literally just gave me grades I didn't have.
That communication.
Right, that communication.
And that's why HBCUs be lit, because it's like, they care about you more. Yeah. They realize it's not like a big school where
they,
I don't care about
dream.
You. You know what I'm saying? They really
believe
in me.
And you also, for us, but you, I think also because you tried.
Yeah.
And they, you knew it. Mm-hmm. You knew what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, you used to be smart, like you said. So, but you actually put in the effort, and then you had enough courage to go to them and say, like, look,
communicate
with them. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm about to blow up. Yeah. You know, I'll come back and see you, give you a T-shirt, you know. And they all passed you. They gave you that good grade.
Yes,
see, I don't have a great story like that about, like, you know, what I'm doing with my life. But the communication with teachers is A1.
For sure.
Because I promise you, I wouldn't have been out of college if it wasn't for my communication.
For communication.
Yeah, like calling your teachers, hey, I'm going to be late. Just save my seat. Warm it for me. I'll be there.
Now, Manny, I know your story may be a little bit different. I know your dad's an artist, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so really? Your dad's an artist, you know, pretty big deal in Nigeria. But what was your parents' reaction to you also wanting to follow in those footsteps?
I think my dad's dream was to take over his band.
For you to take over his band?
Yeah. Mm. So at like the first weekend we moved into the States, he had a show, and he asked one of his band guys to give me a mic, and I legit started like singing back up at like 9 years old. So, like, he was grooming me, taking me to all the shows, like, getting me hip to, like, the money. Like, we'll go to the bank together. Like, I think, my dad really taught me, like, entrepreneurship early. But I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I just wanted to play soccer. Like, I wanted to play soccer. I knew I could do music. Like, my goal was to first play soccer. And then when I turned, like, maybe 35, I would start making songs, because at 35, your body's getting old. You can't really run around with these kids. So,
excuse you.
Oh, right. Dan, we getting old. But,
no, she's a very young lady.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
But my parents definitely wanted me to finish school though. But it was this guy in my church, and this is like 2014 when I first came to the house and stuff. No, 2013? Oh, whatever. So this guy was preaching, and then I just liked his word and all that stuff. He was a random guy from like Cali, came through, and then I was like, yo, like, I keep hearing these voices, like, just go. He was like, I was hearing the voices saying go, and he was like, yo, like, I feel like God is telling me to tell you that you should just go, like, whatever is number one in your mind, just do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I was like, oh my God, this is like some spiritual, because I had like a bunch of those type of like encounters where I felt like God was directly talking to me. And then I told my mom, and I was like, look, Tolu, my younger sister is about to be in school. She's about to be done with high school. You can barely pay for my stuff. Like, I have to leave. On top of that, I kind of have God stamped to leave. So she was just like, dang, okay. And then I told my dad, I said, look, I might go back later. But that was pretty much it. And they pretty much supported me. Like, I think my parents are my biggest supporters. Like, they asked me about music all the time. Like,
oh, that's good.
A week ago, my mom was like, you have to blow up this year. Like, I've never heard the word blow. My mom, I didn't even know. I look back like, what? Like, she's like, oh, nah, this year you gotta blow up. Like, I'm giving you some money. Like, she's
mom, you been watching BET, huh?
I don't know. She said, I'm about to give you some money. Like, we going, whatever I got, just figure it out. Da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah. Like, they're mass supportive.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
So, I low key think these are easier stories because some people get it. Bad, like,
kids look at me like I'm a god. Yeah. Like, you left school? I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was kind of easy. My parents,
I know way too low-key many people who dropped out,
supported me.
African kids who dropped out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Damn.
Question though for you, Manny. When it was like when you sung back up for your father, was that when you found out you can sing? Like, how old were you when you realized you could actually sing?
When I was 5. No, probably earlier. We always used to do like school concerts. And my sister and I will always be at the forefront, leading choreography, leading rap songs.
I remember y'all did piano. A talent show in high school.
Who
has that recording?
I could
I feel
show
like
you.
It's on YouTube.
It's probably on Facebook.
Oh, true.
I'm gonna find it. I'll send it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
I don't think it was bad. Doing? I think y'all killed it.
I think I was bad.
I'm saying that's what he thinks. I think it was good.
So like I think I found out when I was young, and then I auditioned for like the choir, and I was singing my dad's songs literally at the choir audition in Nigeria, and they're like, yo, like, amazing, da 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 da. And yeah, so music has legit always been in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever struggle with your sound as far as singing?
Yeah. I really didn't want to sing. Like, I tried to do everything, but even in my dad's band.
Your voice is the bomb.
That's thank you. So crazy. Yeah, but I was like, yo, I don't sound like these kids. I think that was the only time I struggled with, like, being African. Because I would probably have an American accent, but then when I sung, bruh, you knew this nigga was.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I'm not even going to sing. So I would legit, even before I got comfortable with singing with my dad, I wanted to just play percussion. There's a video on YouTube where I was legit playing a cowbell. I'm not singing, nigga. I'm going to play the cowbell. And he's like, all right, shoot, have this 6-month whatever by yourself. But when I turned like 13, I think it was over. Like, I legit sang at every show back up. Every show.
I remember when you first came to house for Artist Grant, this Negro wanted to rap on every song. I was like, yo, Manny, you're not that good of a rapper. Okay, like, I'm going to just need you to sing. Okay, that is your leg. Like, all he wanted to do was rap. Because
I was listening to
rap.
So much hip hop, and I felt like a lot of rappers sucked. And that was my biggest thing. Like, these niggas couldn't rap. But now I don't even care. If the song's good, it's a good song. If I rap or sing, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the music.
Dang, that's so true.
Yeah, yo, every song. I was just, he rapping verse. Again?
The funny thing is, it's always artists like, they'll do both. So they feel like, oh, I got to do the other genre. When everybody's like, no, we want you to do the other genre.
Right. So, people say that you mumble rap.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They do say that.
Explain what that is. Explain what mumble rap is and what is your style. I've heard Light and Colorful. I listen to a lot of it, you know. The way you dress, you know, the all that stuff matches the music. How do you describe your music?
So, I don't describe my music as mumble rap because I feel like when people talk about mumble rap, they talking about like dumb music, you know what I'm saying? Or like music that talks about drugs and it's not very serious or thought out. And I think with me, it was more so I was at a phase where, okay, I'm getting more comfortable with being myself in music. So I was like, you know what? What if I just like, because sometimes I be making voice memos and then sometimes I just some in the voice memo and I won't say a word. And I'd be like, I could put a word right here, but it sounds cool if I just leave it. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be afraid to just say it like that.
Yeah.
So I started doing it and then it just, people
it became liked a thing,
it.
Yo.
Yeah, it became a thing. I'm like, you know, I'm cool with it. So that's what happened. That's how that came out of me. So I guess I would describe my music as just authentically me.
I love it.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy? Like, a lot of people don't know this nigga could really rap. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not even sucking him because, like, he's my boy. But, like, my friends that make music that rap can rap. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesse can rap, or Froggy.
Because when I started...
He was rapping.
No, listen, because, you know, it's funny thing is the first song I ever made in, like, 2012...
Uh-huh.
2012, yeah, I was mumbling, and then my friends was like, "Yo, you can't do that! Like, that's crazy! Like, you can't!" And I was like, "You know what? I probably can't because this is my first song. Yeah. I don't know nothing." So I put all that stuff away, and I was like, "Let me just be a serious rapper." So all them times, like, I'm just like, "Okay, serious." So I'm working on that, and then around that time, I was like, "Bruh,
where you said you." You listen to a lot of people in Texas.
Oh, for sure.
So you were like, yo, I'm a rapper.
Yeah,
like rap.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got away from the people who were telling you that you couldn't do the mumble rap.
Exactly.
And as soon as you got away from them, then you were like, damn, I can do whatever the
I want. Nobody can tell me anything.
Like you came into your own once you got away from the people who were telling you that you can't. And 100%. Then that's when you literally just started blowing up. Because, do you feel like... Because I haven't heard anything of yours that sounds like African music.
Yes.
Do you have anything like that? Or do you feel the need to make it? Have you ever felt pressured to make it because you are an African artist?
Because of people's
or because you're African, yeah.
Expectations. So I feel like people have never really expected me to do that because I don't feel like people think of me as like an African, you know what I'm saying? Like they think of me like, oh, he's like Americanized, like he's one of them. But there was a point actually my dad was pressing me like, yo, you need to do some African songs. Like, so I was like, dang.
Yeah, so it was a dad's, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, all right, I respect him. Like, I'm just trying. So I was trying, but I was like, yo, that's not me. Like,
yeah. It didn't feel
and right. I like it. I like it. I listen to Afrobeats all the time, but it's just, it just wasn't me. So
wait,
I
what they
really...
say? Oh, you queen now. Is that how you say it? Oh, you American now.
That's what they all do me, but it's cool. I have two cultures. I have so many cultures actually in me, and that's what makes me me. Like, if you take away anything, then I wouldn't be me.
Right. Like, I can get into that eventually.
Yeah, you know?
Maybe. Yeah.
On my time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You ever felt pressured?
Not pressured. I don't care what people say when it comes to music, really. It's, but I get a lot of, oh, you should make a song like Wizkid. And I'm like, I'm definitely not going to do that. But I will say that my sound now, I think the older I get, the more Afro influenced I become. But it's definitely not any of the Wizkids and the Davidos and stuff like that. But
how do you say his name? Is it DeVito? Is it Divido? What everybody is changes it?
It's like that nigga's name is David.
You are from Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. Okay,
Atlanta, so Florida.
So the Nigerians would say Davido.
Yeah.
And then when you want to talk to the Americans, you'd be like, oh, DeVito.
True.
DeVito. Yeah. That's exactly what it sounds like. That's
like, but when, like, when I'm talking, like, the other day we had an argument about just different artists. DeVito is the one. DeVito is DeVito. But then when I'm around Americans, I just be like, oh, DeVito. You heard of DeVito? I don't know why I even do that. That's whack.
So they can understand. They probably don't have to be, huh? Who?
True.
Right, right.
Because that gets irritating, having to repeat yourself four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, so the African sound, the African culture is becoming a really big thing now,
yeah,
right? Do you feel, as far as music goes, you guys being artists, do you feel like Americans are benefiting off of the Afro sound? For example, Drake or...
Yes.
Or Janet Jackson. Oh, you know,
she ain't benefit.
she tried it. Yeah, she tried it.
I can't. I'm not.
She. I think it was her last song she put out. She had, it was an Afro beat. She had a Latino rapper in it.
But that joint was.
It was not even
just saying the music.
Sierra,
the culture in general. Because I can think about Beyonce going on YouTube, finding those three African boys who were dancing. Oh, I need to find them and put them. The girl who runs the world video. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like the culture in general. Yeah. Do you think so?
Do you think they're taking advantage of it, benefiting off of it?
Appropriation.
Oh, they appropriate.
They appropriate.
Honestly, nah, I don't even.
It's a safe space.
This is a safe space.
Don't be afraid of the Americans.
The internet ain't never a safe space.
But to be honest, I don't care if they.
I'm with you though.
Because like, we could all be like, oh, they're stealing, but there's slightly shining light on the sound, or like. Even though it's like it's not like the exact sound that we create. The only thing I hate is when a song is freaking it's clearly not Afrobeats, it's like dancehall and
like Tory Lanez, what he does all the time.
That's not Afrobeats. Yeah. That's just dancehall. That's the only thing I hate. And I think they think they're benefiting from
I just told you this the other day. I saw it on Instagram, this girl, it was a DeVito song. This is my favorite reggae song ever. I'm like, huh?
Bro,
I
went to park.
This is my favorite reggae song right
now.
I
went to park, and the DJ was like, shout out to all my West Indians, and he plays DeVito.
Yeah.
That's
like,
I said, no, you got to get out. And he's on the radio.
I think that's what will blow me more than anything. Bruh,
that's what blew me.
You don't even know. You don't even know.
Shout out to my West Indians and Islanders. DeVito. I couldn't even enjoy the song because I was in my halfway through.
That's the only thing I can say that blows me. Like,
I wanted to tweet him, but like I was just like, bruh.
You should've. Let me educate you just a little
bit. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, man. He got it.
Go up to him afterwards.
I got a single
and say,
coming
hey,
out.
I
want that joint on the radio.
Never mind. We're not gonna tweet you. We're not gonna tweet you. All right. Last question we have.
Okay.
For both of you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two more. One, do you have an American dream?
I definitely wouldn't say I have an American dream. But I guess if you saying an American dream is like, you know, to have a nice house, nice car.
With the fence.
You know, I definitely want to have that. But I feel like everybody want to have that, though. I would say my dream is just to do what God called me to do, and you know, provide for my family, and that's about it, really.
Do you feel like you can do that anywhere?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Manny?
Yeah, I just can't leave. So
I gotta do it here. Like,
I have no choice. Like,
I just gotta do it in America. But I know that if I go to Nigeria today, I would be like, Yeah, I would be some. I would be bigger.
So would you move back home?
Probably not till I'm older. Mm. Yeah, I'd probably just travel, go back a lot.
You would move back to Accra?
I would.
Have you been back since?
Yeah, I've been back.
Ghana's kind of better than Nigeria, though.
Is it?
That's what I keep hearing. As far as politically and stuff. They're just a bit more civilized.
Ghanaians are just nicer.
Yeah, facts. Nigeria. Like, Ghanaians are nice people.
That's true. My grandma.
Nigerians are just mean. Just mean people.
No, we got it. We got it on the hospitality, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
I'm just kidding.
So, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
All right. So, like, what do you see as far as, like, because you know how growing up, we all dealt with all the African booty scratches, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And what do you see? Because I feel like now, somebody had this tweet the other day. It was like, bruh, back then it was, oh, you black as a da-da-da-da-da. Now it's, oh, you so chocolate. So it's like, what do you see as far as, like, from a black perspective, like, how black people are, how they feel about Africans now more so than how they used to?
Mm. Like, what, do you see the change?
You see a change?
Yeah. Yeah. I think having the first orange president has definitely has definitely forced us to appreciate our blackness. Okay, you know, that's okay. First of all. Orange. I think as far as my generation goes, I think we've probably always been curious about where our parents came from, our mm-hmm. grandparents. I can speak for myself. Mm-hmm. So I've always wondered, you know, and you're African American. I don't know what that means, mm-hmm. you know.
It's not
so
a thing.
What is ahead. I'm just black.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, for another thing. Yeah, yeah. But I do see a change. I do see a switch. I think it has a lot to do with, obviously, Wakanda Forever.
Oh, that did. Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, African pride, not just black pride. Yeah. Everybody, oh, yeah, we got to go back, you know.
Yeah.
And then the celebrities doing their thing with going back to Ghana, mm-hmm. you know, going back to Nigeria, trying to figure out.
Sabra, was it just me or did everybody go to Ghana last year?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was in
Nigeria and Ghana, traveling back and forth. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
And then I think also the politicians mm-hmm. in Africa are more welcoming now. They want them to come in. They're calling them to come in. It's like, yo, come back, come see. So all of that spreads. But yes, there is definitely a big difference. I think the Hollywood mm-hmm. is making that difference. And I think the music industry is making that difference. And for us now, it's cool to be African or of African descent.
Right.
Because when I was coming up, it was cool to be mixed.
Okay.
Like light skin. It's still cool to be mixed.
Maybe.
Let me say this. Maybe. I think that, personally, I think we still have a long way to go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because with the acceptance still comes the ignorance. Like, even for me, like, I have people tell me, you're the prettiest African I've seen and stuff, you know, and stuff like that. I'm like, wait, you ain't seen shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we still have so long to go. Like, it's accepted to have people around you from different cultures.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think it's still the cool thing to be African. Like, when I say in Atlanta, I don't know if this is here, but like the experience of like my friends wanting to date an African man now has gone. Like, you bitches are crazy. Okay? No, seriously.
Y'all
like, it's
chill.
Like, but the thing about, like, all of my, everybody wants some type of foreigner, some type of, I think it's accepted, but it's not, it's cool to have it around, but I don't think the culture is exactly accepted the way it should be.
Okay.
Because everybody wants to take something from it and make it into what they want to make it into.
They
want to take what they can. So it's like, oh, the Nigerian man, because he has money and he treats me like this, but they cheat, they do this, they gonna have you living, you know, any other, like, you know, just anything. Like, I think we still have a long way to go. But it is. Anything. It's cool. It's fun dancing to the music. You know, it's fun dancing to the music.
They play it on the radio now.
Yeah, but I still feel like I wouldn't say it offends me, but it's like, y'all are fraudulent as hell. But
yo, they play that Joanna.
That and DeVito is so, I'm tired.
Yeah. I knew it was in a different world when I went to this little basketball game. like for the kids and stuff like that. And then they put on Joanna. I'm talking about all the kids knew that more than any other song they played. I'm like, yo, okay, we moving on up. It's getting better. It's getting better.
Any more questions? Anything y'all want to say?
Plug y'all stuff too, so people can make sure.
Yeah. Follow me at Manny Wells. M A N N Y W E L L Z. That's everything.
Click on the link.
Oh, you gonna? It's gonna be a link.
No. Okay. we just like saying it.
Subscribe to our channel.
We ain't got no channels.
Yeah, my name is Foggy Raw. So F O G G I E R A W, everywhere. So yeah.
A really dope artist. Please check him out. Please check him out.
Oh, this was good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This was dope. Mm-hmm. We're all African. Even Becky with the good hair.
Yep.
Because then she might have a kitchen. It might get nappy back there. That's that African in you. All right. Thanks, guys. Love y'all. Bye.
Deuces.